Some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, visit carlgreer.com. That's CARLGREER.com. A passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. And I come to you from the lovely remains of my cherry tomato garden, which is still turning out cherry tomatoes at near the end of October. So I've just had another little whole bunch of them show up and be nice and red and juicy, and there's nothing like a cherry tomato right off of the vine. But for those of you who aren't lucky enough to have cherry tomatoes growing in your front yard, welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show, and this week is the week we do planetary influences. We look at what's going out on the stars. We being myself and our astrologer, Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. That's Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. He's going to take a look into the heavens. He's going to tell you what hellish days are waiting before you and what heavenly moments you may capitalize on. We do want to warn you or remind you that astrology, like all things, are more information with which to give you better information, whether it's an astrological, what's going on in the stars and the transits, whether it's a psychic reading, whether it's a medical doctor, a natural doctor, a medical intuitive, a judge, a jury, an Indian chief, whatever it may be, they should all be information with which to help you make better decisions. Don't give your power away to anything or anyone. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we're all about being empowered. So as Rob is getting ready to point us to the stars and tell us what is going on our upcoming period, our upcoming astrological period of Scorpio. Ooh, yes, the big bad sign of Scorpio. We all know about Scorpions. Do remember, this is a live call-in show. You can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. And we would love to take your call, your questions. Just feel free to call in. Rob, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dr. Kevin.
Hey, you know, it just wouldn't be a planetary influence without you, Rob. You know, because then I'd have to do the work. I mean, like, please.
Yeah, well, it's always fun chatting with you about the astrological forecast and all the energies going around. So I enjoy it.
Yeah, and so before we take a look and see what's going to happen in this time of Scorpio, you know, Scorpio comes with sound effects, right? How are you doing these days? What is up in the wild and wonderful world of Rob Stewart? Are you teaching, speaking, running around like a chicken with your head cut off? What's up? What's going on there?
Yeah, I'm keeping busy, you know, doing a lot of astrology readings and keeping busy with all that. I really enjoy it. You know, I do a lot of natal chart readings, a lot of transit readings and synastry readings of all sorts in terms of astrology. There's actually in the works a potential class being offered. I'm still getting all that information together, but at some point that's going to be available.
Now, can I pick your, well, maybe I should wait till the end. I'm going to pick your astrological brain, but Let's see if we have enough time at the end, because obviously we want to get the forecast. But if we have enough time at the end, I'd like to pick your astrological brain. How does that sound? Scary or exciting? Okay. So tell us, what's up?
Yeah, well, you know, the big thing, I mean, the thing I wanted to start with is this full moon that was just last night, a full moon in Aries. And full moons are in increased emotional periods of time. I mean, that's, you know, the whole, you know, there's so many metaphors, you know, the full moon and lunatic, you know, all these types of things are increased emotions. Varying emotions are a big thing with the full moon. And oftentimes we feel a bit split in a full moon. You know, the sun is opposite the moon. And so, you know, the needs and the wants in terms of astrology, in the astrological sort of definition of things, that the needs are opposing the wants, and there's can be this sort of split mind on some and some things, or at least some tension in the emotional landscape, you know, for all of us. The full moon's in Aries, and so and Aries is it's about a rebirthing. You know, Aries is instinctual, it's courageous, it's like, you know, the baby out of the womb. And you know, being out of the womb, it's not as comfortable and it's a bit scary, but it's something new. It's the beginning of a new cycle. And being a full moon, what it the full moons are asking us to let go of what's no longer needed, to really refocus energy and time into the areas that are working and let go of what's not working. Full moons are a time of release. And in the sign of Aries, there's a lot of, there can be a lot of anger, there can be a lot of assertiveness. It's really asking us to be courageous and brave and to really stand in our, you know, own willpower in a healthy and positive way, of course. And, you know, the full moon is in the sign of Aries. The moon is also opposite Mars. So again, there's this real tension with this full moon. You know, I'm guessing a lot of you all can feel it, you know, in terms of this sort of impulsivity, this heightened emotions. And also Mercury's opposite Chiron. And Chiron's in Aries itself. So there's what that's speaking to is sort of the needing to communicate, but having maybe censoring oneself, or there's some communicating and it bringing up some wounds and sensitivities, but also this strong desire to speak or to assert yourself in some way. So these are a lot of the astrological energies that are going on right now with this full moon.
Well, with that particular thing, the Chiron opposite the Mercury, while you're having the Sun opposite the Moon, and of course, the Moon and Chiron are both in Aries, if memory serves me. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there is this really fiery cardinal energy of Aries looking to break away from the whatever wound it is that's been holding it back.
Yeah.
Like a champion horse, you know, like chomping at the bit, kind of wanting to, you know, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. You know,
yeah.
Type of energy kind of going out there. And, you know, so the energy yesterday and the day before and today, I mean, you know, I always look at the full moon really as 3 days of energy. You get, you know, is that this is a time that we can have the energy to break out of a pattern or cycle that was created by some deep wounding. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's this great quote, and I forgot who said this quote, but it goes something like, a ship is safe in harbor, but that's not what a ship is for. you know. And so there's this, with the Aries and a full moon, there's this sort of, like you said, this need, this impulse to let go, move on, move forward in a way that might feel a bit new, and there might be hesitation, of course, but there's something that's beginning, and it involves letting go of what's not working.
Yeah. And that little Mercury there is out there for all she's worth, you know, hanging out, I would suspect, in Libra with the end of the closing days of the sun in Libra. And it's got that cardinal beginning energy there because, you know, Libra's another cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's figuring out, it's taking all of that intellect and saying, give me the information, give me the data, let me figure it out, let me wind in around here, and I have the passion and I will have the intellectual clarity to break free from this wound and change this habit and pattern that's been holding me back.
Yeah, right on. And, you know, with Mercury and Libra, there's definitely this relational type of thing. This is, you know, I know with friends and things of that nature, there's a lot going on relationally. And with Mercury opposite Chiron, it's there's this sort of wanting to build bridges, wanting to create diplomacy, fairness, harmony, but coming up against some real wounds or hesitation or censoring oneself. But a real need to talk what needs to be talked about, those types of things. So.
Sounds like we're starting off with a bang.
Yeah. So then also the sun is moving into Scorpio on October 23rd, and so right there you go. You know, it takes a year for the sun to orbit through the sky, and so it moves relatively quick in astrological terms. And the faster that something moves in astrology, it doesn't have as a big of effect as the slow moving planets. You know, the planets like Pluto, Uranus, Saturn, these are much slower planets in the sky, and they really do a deeper work in terms of astrology. There's sort of this deeper change that's occurring when you look at your chart and the transits involved with all that. But with the sun, it is relatively fast, astrologically speaking, and what it's doing, it's really bringing something new, shining a light into some area of self-awareness. And in the sign of Scorpio, it's about the deep, like what's beneath the surface here? What's going on? What are the deeper motivations that I'm acting from or operating from? Scorpio is about the deeper subconscious, the old wounds, the old hurts that sometimes operate beneath the surface. And Scorpio, there's something about going deeper into one's own experience and, you know, exploring those depths for the purpose of healing, release, and transformation. You know, Scorpio would be like the caterpillar and the cocoon that produces the butterfly. You know, that's sort of the scorpionic process, and it involves, you know, being willing to look beneath the surface. You know, Scorpio is not about appearances. It's about what's happening deeper here. And so over this next month, we all have this opportunity to do this deeper self-reflection that is, we're really supported in. And in terms of, you know, it's fall, it's autumn, the temperatures are cooling, we're going inside. This is sort of moving inside, sort of movement during the fall and in Scorpio season, and a slowing down and this sort of encouragement to dig deeper into what's here and now. So that's, you know, it's really about self-awareness and going to those deeper levels with Scorpio.
You know, I kind of tend to think of Scorpio as the juice in the cocoon that does the metamorphosis between the caterpillar and the butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the best lines that always stuck with me about that, about scorpion energy, is that it will go in into that deep level and find out whatever is not working. And it's either going to eradicate it or evolve it.
Right.
Evolve it so it works, or eradicate it.
Right.
So, tell me more. That sounds like a lovely, of course, you know. As I tell people, my signature, what I call my signature, that's how I was trained back in the days of Cleopatra and Mark Antony, that my signature is Scorpion. So anyways.
Yeah, I mean,
it's always,
you know,
it's always a good time for me. Go ahead.
Right. You know, with Scorpio, there's something about the courage of being brutally honest with oneself. You know, that's sort of a, you know, it's something that's not always comfortable, obviously. But when Scorpio is in its truest sense, you know, when it's worked in a positive way, there's this brutal honesty with oneself for the purpose of healing and transformation and evolution. You know, it's that idea where, like, through the wound enters the light, and at, you know, that transformation, that sort of level. So a couple of dates. So October 22nd and 23rd, which is just in a couple of days here, Mars will be squaring Pluto. Mars is in Libra, Pluto's in Capricorn. So this is just a day to, you know, this is a great day. You can certainly get a lot done, but this is a day just to be mindful of over impulsivity or, you know, it's a day to really take it slow and you know, it's sort of like a road rage day, I guess you could say. There might be a bit some impulsivity with people and some, you know, some frustrations that surface. And so in your own life, it's just a great day to really take it slow, and channel that energy, which is great for kickstarting new projects and things like that, or letting go of what isn't working. It's a full moon cycle, so it's a great time to let go of what's not working.
Hi, and we're coming upon our first break. We'll be right back and hear more from Rob Stewart from innercenter.org.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. This week, as we always do once a month, we get our daily or nightly dose of planetary influences, where myself and our astrologer, Rob Stewart from innercenter.org, come together, look to the stars, and talk about what's coming up and what it may mean for you. Remember, this is to give you information with which to make more decisions, make better decisions with. This is not meant to be for you to as the basis of your decision. This should just be one of many factors that you should include when making decisions about your life. That said, if you don't have your chart, if you don't understand where some of this stuff is or lies or what it means to you more personally, please feel free to reach out to Rob at innercenter.org. And I'm sure that he would be happy to do a natal chart for you and might even give you some tips about how to take advantage of this monthly offering of a peek into the stars. Rob. So that last aspect, that last square you said was Mars and Pluto. Okay. Yeah. Well, and the only thing I would add to what you said would be, I would be very aware where something that you have been holding on anger about, but have been kind of shielding yourself, could pop out right now. You know, we all do that little foolish thing where we go, you know, well, it didn't really bother me. It didn't really bother me until we go, you know what? It really bothered me. And this is the kind of aspect that's gonna make you stop lying to yourself and show you where you may have some work that you need to do, or you may have some you may have some conversations you need to have about what's okay and not okay in your life. So continue. Continue our astrological parade.
Yeah, so we had a few planets that went direct over the past couple weeks. Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter all went direct. And what that means is that planets will turn retrograde when they appear to be moving backwards in the sky. And of course, they're not. The planets aren't moving backwards. It's just that from the perspective of the Earth, the Earth's orbit is sort of overtaking the orbit of these other planets, and they appear from the Earth's perspective to be going backwards. Much like if you pass a car on the freeway, you're both going very fast, but the car appears to be going backwards, you know, the same sort of effect, essentially. And so when these planets were retrograde, Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter, basically, retrograde planets offer this sort of quiet and private internal reflection period with regards to these areas of life that are represented by the planet. And so, you know, with Pluto, retrograde Pluto, there's something about revisiting, you know, where do you feel disempowered in life? Where what are some old compulsions or, you know, those types of things where you find yourself doing this thing and wow, like look at that old habit, that sort of subconscious pattern. Retrograde Pluto is a great time to revisit that, to review that, look at that. With Pluto going direct, there's something about taking what we've all been learning over these past few months and putting it into action and really regaining, working towards that empowerment, you know, feeling that empowerment in our lives in whatever way is right for you in that way. And then, you know, Saturn going direct. So, you know, Saturn's about bringing more maturity, responsibility, practicality into life. And so while Saturn's been retrograde, it's a time to sort of revisit, you know, where am I not being an authority in my own life, where I could be? What are some ways to be more practical and responsible in life, and, you know, getting down into the the grind? You know, this experience on Earth is not an easy one, and Saturn's always sort of reminding us of that sometimes it takes a lot of hard work and responsibility to get where we need to go. So with Saturn going direct, again, it's this sort of integrating the things we've been learning over the past few months and putting it to action and you know, leveling up that sort of practicality and responsibility and things like that. And then with Jupiter retrograde is reviewing you know, different belief systems, things that we, where do we feel abundant in our lives? What are the belief systems that I'm operating from? You know, we all have belief systems. I think it's arguable that atheism is as much of a belief system as theism. They're just different lenses to see the world. And when Pluto or Jupiter's retrograde, there's something about revisiting some of these old lenses to see, you know, does it work? Is this working for me? What needs to be improved? And so Jupiter going direct, which was on October 18th, there's something about putting into action, you know, these things that you've been learning over these past few months.
Well, I'm gonna comment on something you said, because I've always said, if you let me talk to an atheist long enough, I'll tell you who their God is. Their God might be money, their God might be power, their God, but we all have a God. It just isn't an old man in heaven. But we all worship something. It's part of the human nature. So I just thought I would share that. Go ahead.
Yep. Nope. Valid point. So, you know, just a couple more dates here. October 27th and 28th. Some Venus contacts. Venus will be squaring Neptune in sextile Jupiter. This is a period of time where it's, you know, rose-colored glasses. We all, you know, can see things. It's, you know, it's wonderful when you see the beauty of life, of course. And with Venus square Neptune, there's opportunities to see, you know, where am I wearing rose-colored glasses where it's not quite working out for me, you know. There's nothing wrong with rose-colored glasses. I think it can be a wonderful thing. But with Venus square Neptune, sometimes there can be this sort of some wake-up calls in terms of, hey, you know, bring a bit more reality into this type of situation. But with Venus sextile Jupiter, this is a pretty, there's some real positivity with this transit as well. So I want to be very clear. There's nothing in astrology that's good or bad. They're all just sort of different colors. I really enjoy the color blue, and I like the color yellow less, but it's not that blue's good and yellow's bad. You know, it's not, not how it works. So, you know, there's really no negative things in astrology. There's just different energies and ways of working with it, you know, much like the weather, you know. And so October 27th and 28th is just a time that, you know, perhaps there's some, you know, some recognitions of where maybe there's been some rose-colored glasses, and it's just a good time to be mindful of any indications in that area. And feel free to chime in at any time, Dr. Kevin. I'm going to move to Mars entering Scorpio on October 30th, if there's nothing you want to add on the Venus stuff at this point.
Well, I mean, I kind of looking at it as it can also be a shifting of your dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, I look to Neptune, and Neptune is our opportunity, if we're willing to release our old dreams, to create more realistic dreams or dreams that are better suited for us. Sometimes we hold on to old dreams because they're just comfortable and familiar. And with this square, that may be a time in which you have reassessed aspects of your own value system and who you are and who you want to be in the world. You're Venetian, and it comes up against the dreams that you had, and you realize the person you've become, and those dreams no longer fit. And so, especially with the sextile to Jupiter, it could be a time when you really expand your dreams or expand things in a way, kind of as a kind of like that backwash of Venus is flirting with Neptune and is flirting with Jupiter. She's yeah. just like that. You know, that Venus, you know how she is. And so I think it might be a time when people go, you know, I just don't want to do this, or that's just not where I'm headed anymore. I just feel, see that who I'm becoming doesn't fit into who I thought I was becoming. So, yeah. I mean, does that make sense, that kind
Absolutely.
Of energy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. But, you know, there's something about getting more clear on what's fantasy, what's reality, what's, you know, just becoming a bit more clear with that through this type of transit.
Yeah. Well, so, nope, go ahead. Mars in Scorpio. Da-da-da-dum. It's a Scorpio. So it's got to have sound effects. Go ahead.
So no other zodiac sign gets the soundtrack, though. It's only Scorpio.
What
right?
can I say? It's my show.
Yeah, no,
that's
I like
how I
it.
Roll.
I like it. So, okay, so Mars and the Scorpio. So, you know, Mars is it's the impulse, it's willpower, it's taking action and instinct. It's about courage. And when Mars is entering Scorpio, there's this real desire to understand the mystery of oneself, this sort of real internal, there's something with Scorpio, and as the soundtrack suggests, is just deepening in this internal process with Scorpio. Sometimes, of course, it's projected into the exterior world, but there's this real deepening and in internal process. And with the Mars moving into Scorpio, there's something about taking steps and really diving into that deeper subconscious. And, you know, there's something about like, you know, what's the nature of my deeper desires and motivations? Am I acting from a place of fear? Am I acting from a place of clarity? What, you know, these, am I in my day-to-day routine? Where am I acting from? What are these deeper motivations that I don't quite always think about, but I'm acting from? What's that about? You know, why do I do this? Interesting. And going deep into those deeper motivations that that fuel us. You know, this is a great time to look at some of these and let go of some old habits by doing some deeper inquiries into oneself. And also it's a great time of, you know, rechecking in with what is personal power? You know, am I using my personal power in a way that is productive and right for me, or have I been using it in a way that's been destructive for me in various ways and various degrees? It's a great time to really check in with one's own personal power and how from where you've been taking those actions from, and how, you know, has it been helpful? What needs to transform in that area?
Well, Mars loves being in Scorpio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it used to be its rulership. And some, depending on the astrology you talk to.
Yep. It
depends on whether they look at those outside planets as deserving rulership or not. Mars is in a power. It's in its power there.
Yeah, it is, and it can be intense too. You know, that's the thing. This is, you know, there's a lot of resource that we all have with Mars and Scorpio. There's a great resource of power, and there's this intensity with Mars and Scorpio. It's sort of like you said, it's like, what's the word, revitalized or
energized.
Energized, you know, and so if this, with a mindful approach, this can be used in a really healthy and productive way. But of course, it's also a time where there can just be this, you know, the the blow ups and you know, those oops, maybe I shouldn't have done it that way, or aggressive driving or whatever it is. It sort of there can be this intensity to it. So it's a great time to check in with that and be mindful of all that stuff.
Yep. So sounds good to me. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say.
You're up, Rob.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say that November 2nd, Mercury is squaring Pluto. So this is just after, actually, it's not involving Mars, but it's Mars-like, because Mars is in Scorpio and Pluto is another ruler of Scorpio. So November 2nd, it's a day when there can be some real intense exchanges, you know, in terms of communication. Again, it's great for breaking through to having those deep conversations, but just, you know, simply being mindful of, your personal power and, you know, in terms of communication and the words and things like this. This could be it could be a day when the headlines are very intense in the news. There's a lot of communication, intensity which leads to transformation and change and evolution. That's the nature of Pluto.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
And we'll be right back for the last segment of this month's Planetary Influences with Rob Stewart from innercenter.org.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show. On this show, we are with Rob Stewart from Inner Center. That's innercenter.org. And we are doing Planetary Influences. It's our monthly dose of what's going on in the stars. So we've got Mars in Scorpio doing that little, power dance, because it's in da-da-da-da, Scorpio. What else is going on, Mr. Roberts?
Yeah, so on November 4th, we have a new moon in Scorpio. And before we chat about that real quick, you know, last month and last month's planetary influences, I talked about some potential intensity that was October, I think it was like October 6th through the 13th or something like that. I forgot the exact dates, but, you know, it's so fascinating with astrology. There was some intensity in the news, but nothing extreme, you know, and that's something about astrology where, you know, I find fascinating. So I love paying attention to that. And it wasn't, you know, it didn't turn out to be what I thought it would be, which is really great. So, you know, and I bring that up because in November, there's some real intense energies in terms of what we'll be talking about from November 4th, you know, the first 10 days of November. There's some real intensity involved with it. It doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's just sort of some real energy that is being moved and that could, you know, that maybe there'd be some headlines in the news in early November into mid-November even in terms of the astrology. So on November 4th, there's a new moon in Scorpio. So, you know, cue the soundtrack, Dr. Kevin. So the new moon in Scorpio, this new moon is opposite Uranus. And at the same time, we have a square with Saturn. So it's making this T-square between the sun and the moon are together opposing Uranus with Saturn right there in the middle. So, and this is a new moon in Scorpio. So it's indicating this new cycle of this deeper, you know, self-examination, looking at the root of the subconscious motivations, these sort of, you know, it's like that deep dive and that transformation working that sort of caterpillar to the cocoon with the liquid in the cocoon, like you said, was the scorpionic energy, Dr. Kevin, and then the butterfly emerging, you know. So this is, there's something about this over this next 6 months with this new moon in Scorpio. You know, it's a really interesting time astrologically, particularly these next few months. So I feel like this new moon in Scorpio is sort of this refocus on helping all of us do that inner reflection and that deeper self, bringing more self-awareness to our own parts of ourselves that are being brought up to be healed and transformed. And, you know, with this new moon opposing Uranus, there's a lot of unpredictability that occurs with that. You know, there's the potential, and again, I always say this, I'm certainly not a financial advisor, and this is not financial advice. There are possibilities regarding markets or sort of financial uncertainty. Speak with your financial advisor. I don't know. I know nothing about those things, but the planets are some of the descriptors for these energies involved. Uncertainty, volatility, unpredictability. And so this first 10 days in November is a real period of time where these sort of keywords are certainly in play.
Let me ask you a question here. Yeah. I want to make sure we don't run out of time for what you've got left, but
we got plenty of time.
Good. Cause I still want to pick your brain. But, and this is part of it. So if you had that moon in the 11th house, which is the house that is ruled by Uranus, and you had that T square in a natal chart, what would you tell that person? What would it tell us about that person?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And so, you know, this is how relating the transits into the birth chart can reveal a lot of good information. You know, with the new moon in the 11th, this would say, the way I would interpret this, is that there's new beginnings in terms of friends, those that you connect with, those that you have a shared vision with the world, Yale 11th House is it's about a vision for the world and who you want to combine with to create that vision in the world. So it's also our friends, associations, groups. And with this new moon in Scorpio, it's saying there's something to be, there's opportunity to look deep and looking at the subconscious mechanisms that's going on behind the scenes in this area of life. And there's great opportunity to, you know, with that deep dive and that transformative butterfly thing of healing, simply by doing that deeper dive into one's own psychology, or in the 11th house, you know, the psychology even of a group. With it's opposing Uranus in the fifth. And so this is saying that, you know, maybe there's some sudden, unpredictable self-expression that's going on. You know, so if this is in someone's personal chart, they might feel, gosh, I really need to say what I need to say here. I need to express fifth house, my personal opinion about this. But maybe there's some restriction or feeling you can't, because maybe not everyone in the group sees it that way. This is one way, of course, out of a million ways that these energies could be expressed. And with Saturn, Saturn would be there in the second house. You know, maybe this is about, you know, finances. You know, maybe you're not able, maybe holding yourself back from expressing one's own opinion because it might affect income. Saturn in the second house, and, you know, restriction in terms of money flow and earnings, things of something like that. So that would be one out of many, 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 many word salad versions of how that could be interpreted. And astrology is all about examples. It's not to say that's how it shows up. That's just one of many ways that those that configuration could occur.
Okay, so I'm going to let you finish up the forecast, so and make sure we get that done before I start picking your brain anymore.
All right. Yeah, you know, there's not much more. I mean, you know, that new moon in Scorpio, we have November 5th, we have Mercury into Scorpio, Venus into Capricorn. And so, you know, Mercury in Scorpio, it's more of that deep dive during the Scorpio period of evaluating those, you know, the self-awareness and really going within. Venus and Capricorn is always an interesting one. There's something about when Venus is moving through Capricorn, there's something about maybe feeling a bit more cautious or controlled in how we express ourselves. It's a time where we might feel that we have to rely on our conditioning and we sort of conformity. There's a sort of conformity with Venus and Capricorn, you know, maybe not sharing how you, the emotions. It's just more about, you know, appearing, good, you know, so it's a time where, you know, doing the emotional processing behind closed doors might be helpful if you're feeling like you can't emote or express them with certain friends or groups or things like that. And also November 10th is a very interesting day. You know, the first 10 days of November, there is that shaking up energy. You know, Mercury, there's a lot going on in the 10th with Mercury and Mars and Saturn. There's its T-square. And it's another day where, you know, there's just things are being shaken up so that, you know, what no longer works is falling away. And this has been occurring for a long time. There's nothing new with that. But it's, you know, the sort of November Scorpio period, there's definitely this deep dive and this healing and inner transformation that we're all moving through in terms of the astrology. So that's pretty much it in terms of what I have.
Okay, so here's where I want to spend the rest of our time talking astrology, because we haven't had any callers. Remember, you can call in at 202-570-7057, but we haven't had any callers. So I can't go into great detail, but I am in the process of purchasing a business that already is created in the spiritual community and then kind of not quite absorbing it. It's going to be freestanding from mine. And so it's going to be a standalone business, but it's going to be under my umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's cool. That's exciting.
I'm sorry, what?
That's really exciting. That's cool.
Yep. Yep. And we'll talk offline. There may be some opportunities there for you. But what I can say is I followed an intuitive about when was the day to sign the contracts, giving it the what I considered the birth chart of the new business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ran that chart, and there was a few things I just wanted to throw out and get your impression. Now, this is for a business and not a person. We know that works a little differently, but it's still the same energies. It's just you have to think about it in terms of this is a business. So are you game to have this chat with me for the rest of the show?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
So following the intuitive hit I got about the, and it wasn't my intuitive hit because, you know, some of the stuff you can't do for yourself.
Yeah.
We all know that we can't do our own heart surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Using the intuitive hit I got for doing it left this business with, first of all, a Capricorn rising. Thoughts? Good business ascendant?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Definitely. Absolutely.
And it left that Venus you were talking about literally at the same degree as the ascendant.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's pretty nice. I mean, there is, you know, I mean, Venus will be in Capricorn for a long period of time. So that's going to be in the chart. You know, there's no doubt about that. You know, this would, how I would interpret it is something that would be very approachable for many people, you know, in terms of Venus and Capricorn. It's going to, there might, conformity is not the right word, but this sort of approachable and understandable, reputable way in which interacting with other people would be a central part to this business. So I think Venus on the ascendant is wonderful for a business or anything really. So I think that's a great idea.
It has its midheaven in Libra. And there are two other placements that I want to get here. So the Mercury is still in Libra, but it's in the 10th house. Also in the 10th house is the Mars in Scorpio and the Sun in Scorpio. So you have Sun, Mars, and Mercury all in the 10th house. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Sun in the 10th house is a perfect place for it. You know, oftentimes, you know, when someone is getting a chart reading, I'll put the Sun in the 10th house because they don't know oftentimes the exact time. So that's a perfect place. It's in Scorpio. That's great. You know, that's about, you know, real focus on getting to the root of things, getting to the very core of what's going on, you know. So I think that's perfect given what you talked about the business. Mars there too, or Mars and Sun, they might even be pretty close to each other, I would imagine, in terms of a conjunction.
Yeah, they're close.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's saying, you know, you're going to be a mover and a shaker. You know, this is going to, for lack of a better word, you know, it's like a force to reckon with in the public, you know. So, you know, I think it brings with it the mindfulness of to you know, of course, use the actions and things in a mindful way and not, you know, impulsivity, being mindful of any impulsivity, I guess, that could be occurring. But I think, you know, there's no question at all that Mercury, Mars, and the Sun in the 10th house for the business is wonderful. The midheaven being in Libra, that's saying it's going, your business will show up as a very diplomatic business, a business that's building bridges, wants equality and fairness. So to me, this sounds like a really good chart.
And the last little thing is Jupiter in the second.
Well, there you go. that's great. This sounds really, really good for business, no doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then that was the moon I asked about, because it's an 11th house Scorpio moon.
Okay. Well, that's great, because the 11th house is, and I've, you know, in business, yeah, there's something about colleagues, networking, so it's a great place for the moon, for sure.
Rob, I will be talking to you offline before our next show, but until our next show, may the stars be with you.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Dr. Kevin. Always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.